This is the Parents Magazine Show. I'm Barry Gillies, senior editor for the magazine.
And I'm Judy Goldberg, also an editor for Parents. Today we're talking about setting boundaries, how to draw lines of behavior for children, and why.
Joining us from Austin, Texas is pediatrician Dr. Ari Brown, the co-author of Baby 411 and Toddler 411. Hi, Dr. Brown.
How you doing?
We're doing good. This is actually quite a personal issue for me. My son Will is 3 years old, and I'm still racing to kind of meet every single demand. I won't even say need. And I'm beginning to feel like a doormat mom. And actually, it's starting to worry me because I can see how his behavior can get kind of unpleasant, read even more demanding as he gets older. And basically, I don't want a spoiled kid.
And I want to interject, having older kids as you do, Dr. Brown, that you can see which parents did the heavy lifting when they were three and really sort of civilized their kids and which parents didn't. They kind of come over to your house and they expect to be catered to like a three-year-old, and then you never want them back again, you know?
So, Dr. Brown, help us. How can I start? Well, you were saying maybe I've heard you say before, like at 9 months, babies get savvy. And explain what happens at 9 months that they're not, you don't have to run and meet their every need.
Well, there are various stages of child development and kind of intellectual or cognitive development, as well as social development. And so what you're dealing with here is a combination of those. And as babies grow, they start to be more attuned to what's going on with human interactions. They also are starting to try to be more independent. They want to do things that they want to do. Unfortunately, that is going to come right in contrast with what your job as a parent is, and that is to set healthy limits for them. So that can be very frustrating, and a child will continue to test and test to see where that boundary is, to see if they can get away with it, make sure you really meant what you said when you said, no, I don't want you hurling the remote control at the dog. But they're going to keep trying because they want to do what they want to do. And you're right that, you know, some of these things start to rear their ugly head, so to speak, at about 9 months. And certainly in the toddler years, it gets even worse because that is the developmental milestone that they're going through at that period of time. And I think that probably the most important message for parents is that you need to grow with your child. I think parents get very comfortable with a certain age and they say, look, I've got this mastered, but then they don't realize that their child has then jumped into the next phase and they're still working on.
Well, it's exhausting, Dr.
Yes,
Brown.
You're right.
But I also
you're right.
Think
and
it's like,
you know,
we're
parenting, no question, hardest job in the world. And you're constantly being tested and challenged. It's almost like playing chess and figuring out your child's next move so that you can stay one step ahead.
And I think like you have to stay one step ahead because Barry and I were talking about this earlier. You know, what's cute in a three-year-old is not necessarily cute in a six-year-old.
Right.
And so if you don't stay ahead of it, then you can sort of end up with one of those kids.
Right.
And I'm not naming any names, but but I have a kid who I complain to Barry a lot about who's now he's seven, and no one ever really bothered to teach him to use an indoor voice or to not interrupt or to not double dip his chips or like any of those sort of normal behavior. And so he's really hard to be around, and it's not cute.
And Dr. Brown, I'm starting. He's adorable right now and sweet. He's three. How do I go about setting the boundaries
right
now? Because I've let him get away with too much.
Well, you know, it's never too late to change. And clearly you have said to yourself, okay, what I'm doing is not working. What I'm doing is not what I want to do as a parent. And this is not the child that I want to have. So that's in and of itself huge. And you have to be able to take a step back when you're in the situation and remind yourself of what you've said to yourself is, this is not what I want to do. And you almost have to be a fly on the wall and see the situation evolving, but you're in the thick of it, and that's what makes it such a challenge. The other message that I think parents really should hear is that being a parent is not popular. You know, you're not your child's friend. You're their guide. And so that's your job. And sometimes that's not what your child wants to hear. But when you set a limit, and you know what those limits are, Barry. I mean, this is not news to you. You know where your limits are, what you want your child to do and what you don't want your child to do. But when you've made that decision of that's where the boundary is, you have to stick to it and know that your child may protest. And you have to be willing to put up with the protest.
something I think it's important for a parent to know. And I think because I'm of this new kind of parent, I want to be liked. There's nothing greater than that feeling that this little thing loves me so much, and I don't want to ruin that. But I think that a kid wants you to set the limits in a way. They want to feel like you're in charge. You're the captain of the ship. That's what's going to make him feel safe in a way.
You're exactly right. And I think that that is one of the underlying reasons why parents have trouble setting limits, is they're afraid that their child isn't going to love them. And the truth is, they will love you. They will love you even more for setting up a safe environment for them, because they thrive on things that are predictable. They thrive on routines. And then they also thrive on being in charge and having control. So if you set the limits so that they can be in control, but they know where their boundaries are, what that's going to create is a child who has self-esteem and self-confidence and self-control. And that's the kid you want. And so if you remind yourself of that, and you remind yourself that your child will still love you, even though you're telling them that they can't do everything that they want to do, that should give you enough motivation to set a limit without being a drill sergeant, but you need to follow through when you make that limit.
I'm learning it little by little. A big thing that I'm trying to understand is respect in my household, which goes back to what you were saying. And sometimes Will not greet his babysitter in the morning. You know, I used to be like, whatever. But now I'm like, no, you say good morning to Linda when she comes in. And it's a nice thing, because I want him to treat my husband, I want him to treat me, anyone we meet, with respect.
Because it's also really going to pay off for him later in life, because the polite kid is going to be the kid the teacher likes, the other parents like. And so it really is putting your kid at a disadvantage, I think, if you don't do those things and sort of keep reinforcing them and reiterating them. Like yesterday, Ollie came to the office. My son, and he's 10, and I'm always telling him to look people in the eye, you know, when he talks to them, because boys have this way of like looking down, kind of muttering. So I saw him say hello to someone, and then he forgot to look him in the eye. So then he sprung his head back up and stared at them in the face. But I really like applauded that, because, you know, he sort of gets the idea of trying to do the right thing. And eventually it'll come, I hope, naturally to him.
With little kids, Dr. Brown, I mean, maybe they don't get it and they don't understand right away why saying thank you. But you still kind of inculcate that from a young age.
Well, you know, there are two things you can do. One, which is key, is you are your child's role model. And so everything that you do, your child is watching. If you show your child what you want them to do, that speaks volumes. So that's the first thing. And then the second is encouraging them to do the things that you want them to do, and then reinforcing that. Say, you know, I'm really proud of you. You know, so you follow up with the reinforcement. I'm really proud of you for, you know, looking that person in the eye or saying hello to the babysitter, because that makes them feel good, because they know that they did something right. And they really do want to please you. I mean, they're all about pleasing mom and dad. And so knowing that that is, you know, even if it's just a little thing, makes mom and dad happy, I think you'll see that they will continue to do it, even though you don't reinforce it every time. So it becomes ingrained in them is something that they should be doing. You know, one comment I'll make about little kids, and we're talking about, you know, Will here with Barry, is that, you know, some of these things seem so innocuous, but the stakes get bigger as they get older. And I'm sure Judy will agree with that. And so, you know, it seems so innocuous that your child, you know, wants candy when you're at the grocery store. And I say, you know, are you going to let your child have candy at the grocery store because they have a fit and you're just trying to avoid the conflict? So you're going to give them the candy? And most parents will say, no, I would never do that. But in fact, frequently parents will do that, and they just kind of give in because they don't want to have the conflict. But, you know, the stakes get higher when you have a, you know, 16-year-old who wants the car keys, and you know that they want to go to a party where there's underage drinking. You're going to let them go? And if you can't say no to your 3-year-old, are you going to say no to your 16-year-old? You know, you really have to see how this plays out. And Judy is absolutely right. As children get older, you start to see, you know, where have the parenting skills gone well, and where have they not gone so well as the result of, you know, what you see in an older child who's making choices on their own. And you want your child to make good choices when you're not around.
Well, Dr. Brown, once again, we thank you so much for your wisdom and your very fun way of teaching or disciplining us parents.
Well, I think that's
a lot
well
of information.
Put.
Dr. Brown is a pediatrician in Austin, Texas. She's the author of books for parents, Baby 411 and Toddler 411. Check back next week for another edition of The Parents Magazine Show. You can subscribe to this free program at the iTunes Store or through your favorite podcast directory. Also, check out the blog of the editors of Parents Magazine. It's called Goody Blog, and you can get it at goodyblog.com. The Parents Magazine Show is produced by Curtis Fox Productions. Until next week, I'm Barry Gillies. Thanks for listening.